Oh, hello, folks. Welcome to the Jock and Gerto show. It's Jay Clark here, captain of Collingwood, Scotty Pendlebury, and hello to you, Braden Cox, our producer extraordinaire. Another week of footy, and it's fair to say it has been an absolute massive one. But we want to talk to you first, Scotty, as you head up to Brisbane to take on the Lions at the Gabba. We want to talk about what happens on the road. Because
travel etiquette,
exactly. Now, before we went to air, I saw you complaining or talking about Darcy Moore, who wanted a lift, but you seem to be unwilling to give him one. So can you explain what's happening there, please? No,
so it's sort of just brought up in how it works. You know, the first time you travel on the road, it's like, you know, try and jump in with a senior player or something because, you know, in your first or second year, you don't want to be forking out unnecessary money for petrol. So,
Darcy's
probably in that boat.
Is it incumbent upon the senior players to give the younger players a lift?
Like, I'm heading off this afternoon, so I've got baby seat.
Yeah.
So it narrows me down to four that I can take. So
yes.
Mason Cox, Darcy Moore, Josh Thomas.
Yes. So is that normal? No,
no. Nah. So that's just the crew. We're going over an afternoon early.
Yeah.
So we're head over. So all those boys asked me today, can I jump in? No worries at all. Meet at the footy club at 2:30. So that way everyone's car's here.
Yes.
So when on the way home, I can drop everyone just back here instead of having to drop everyone else off.
Yeah, you don't want to be caught doing
that. I'm not an Uber driver. Sorry, Josh. Josh Thomas. he made a living for him for a while. But it makes it easy for everyone. And then usually the etiquette also is that if I'm driving, one of the guys will be like, all right, who wants coffees? And he gets coffees for everyone in the car.
Yes.
So you head to the airport.
Yes.
Standard practice.
That's fair.
And then, but I've never taken Darcy before.
Yes.
And bit of princess behaviour.
Right.
He's texted me and said, what time will you be picking me out from my house?
Yes.
And I said, well, you'll be 2:30 at the football club. Yeah. Otherwise, the vessel will be leaving without you. And then he's tried to plead his case. He's thrown out there, oh, good skipper, you are.
Oh.
So, look, if he's here today, we're talking 2 hours' time. If he's here 2 hours' time, he'll be coming with me. And if he's not, he'll be getting an Uber to the airport.
Because you don't want to be caught picking up everyone from all the different locations.
I wouldn't
have
thought.
No.
And I won't be either. I'll be staunch on this. I will not be picking him up from his house.
And so does Darcy not normally sort of – is he a bit renowned for not wanting to go out of his way on this sort of front? Or?
Oh, he's a high-maintenance guy.
A high-maintenance guy.
Yeah, but – you know, it's one of his strengths as a person, I suppose. So, yeah, but look, you know, we'll see. So I'm tipping, you know, it's probably going to cost you 12, 13 bucks in unleaded fuel to get out there. So he'll be here.
And you always drive. Why are you always driving?
No, taking turns. So, okay. Because I'm the more senior player of the lot.
Yep.
And probably most players now that I am. So,
yep.
I'll usually drive.
Okay.
We went to Adelaide.
Yep.
I drove over there. I think it was me, Reedy, Langers, Coxie again. So you have to remind Reedy that he's got to buy the coffees and you've got to remind him probably three or four times throughout the day.
Is that right?
He's a little bit tight.
Tight ass?
Yeah, I haven't seen his wallet too many times.
He signed a big contract a few years ago.
He barely played for three of them.
So why are you going over a day early? What's the point in that? Because you've got the option to go tomorrow.
Yeah, so a lot of guys tend to travel. I suppose it started with the Perth trips. You go over 2 days early, then the day before you can sort of just – I don't know, chill out. There's no travel the day before you play.
Yeah.
Because this is quite a long day travelling. So if we were to travel tomorrow, you know, you've got to be at the airport by 10. So you're sitting around for an hour before that. Then you're on the plane for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Probably sitting again for another hour. Then you get there, probably
not
have some lunch, and then you're straight to training and then you're sitting again. So, yeah, I just prefer to get over there tonight, go for a walk and just chill out tomorrow. So, and then wait for the guys to get there. And I don't do anything special, but I just like to get over there night earlier.
So will you watch the footy tonight?
Yeah, I'll watch the footy. I think we get into Brisbane tonight at like 7 o'clock. So I'll get in, head straight to the hotel, sit back and watch the Cats versus Giants.
What are the rules around the buffet? Now, it's sort of this, I'm not sure if it's myth or it's fact or legend in footy, but do the coaches keep a close eye on the buffet? Are they always, you know, there's this thing that, this belief that players overeat at the buffet on the road and that impacts their chances of winning. What are the buffet rules?
There is no rules. It's the buffet's there and it's up to your own discretion of how hard you go. So the most challenging thing, I think, for players, and certainly happened to me many of times, is you only eat three times on the road because you've got breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah.
And then, say, game day, it's breakfast, lunch, pre-game snack type thing. And
yep.
a lot of guys eat five or six times a day. So right. not used to having like
just that. Food so on.
What we've done is like we've actually got like sort of a food bar that's open all the time.
Yep.
So you don't have to think, all right, lunchtime, I'm not eating again until dinner. So I've got to load up. So it's always funny watching a first year guy go who usually has one plate of pasta, and then because it's never ending, he has three and weighs in 3 kilos heavier.
And we actually go on the, so we're on the road as well, us guys in the media team. And so we do all of the, none of the work and get all of the carbs because everything's pasta and like.
Yeah, we always, it's laugh, all the staff, it's not just the players that get caught up in this, all the staff, because players, we train, we burn it off, we play, blah, blah, blah. But the staff, the coaching staff,
put
as
on
good as they
kegs
think they
on
are. Yeah, like, yeah, I don't think the coaching staff need two plates of pasta the night before a game.
I think the other thing as well, as a rookie, when I first got in there, you start off and you're like, oh, like burritos, that's nice, I'll get some of them. And then you're getting your pasta bake and you get around. So everything's good. So by the time you get to the end, your plate is stacked so high.
Yeah, well, the night before a game, to give people like an understanding, because it's not just like pasta and meat sauce. It might be like spaghetti penne and then like a Napoli sauce, a meat sauce, and it's like white rice, brown rice, salmon, grilled chicken, veggies, potato. So there's like probably potentially like 8 different meal options because so many guys eat different things.
Mm.
And then as Coco's saying, what happens is a lot of people go, I'll have a little bit of the risotto and then I'll duck back later for a little bit of the pasta and then I'll finish with a bit of this. And by the time they've eaten that, out comes the apple crumble and the ice cream and everyone just has a bit of a double. And then really fine, once people give up, they just give up and they let loose. Marcus Wagner at this football club is hopeless.
He's the assistant footy manager. So who are the players have fallen foul this before? Who do you have to keep an eye on? Who sort of...
I think everyone. When you first travel, it's always like a trap. You fall into it because it's just, as Coco said, there's food there. It's good food.
Yep.
So you just tend to overeat. So you just got to learn your lesson. And don't worry. There's a few, like Mason Cox, I think, what he just generally eats in a day, the amount he consumes is extraordinary.
Yeah. And so what's your preferred?
You'd
be fastidious. Like, do you weigh it? You know,
I don't weigh it, but I've eaten enough pre-game meals to know when enough's enough. And I'm not too bad.
What do you do? What do other guys get up to on the road? So what, if you're watching the footy, you like watching the footy?
Yeah, so I'll watch the footy tonight. I'm sure someone will take a PlayStation, so there'll be guys playing PlayStation in another room.
Yeah.
Fortnite seems to be the one that everyone's playing at the moment.
Right.
I don't know, some guys take like uni work and study.
Yep.
I know last time we were in Adelaide, I went over early, Tommy Langdon as well, so the next day we caught up, he was doing some uni, I was knocking off level 2 coaching course.
Yep.
Guys go out, catch up with people they might know, family, friends, grab a coffee. I know the weather's supposed to be all right. Might catch some rays tomorrow morning before the boys get up.
What do Brody and Darcy get up to? They've always got their alternative.
What would they do? They're probably both guys doing uni, so they'd probably study.
Yep.
Everyone's always pretty eager in the morning to get out and try and find a good coffee spot and analyse that to death. So we do that. But there is a lot of idle time where you're sitting around sort of cruising and everyone sort of hangs around the lunchroom because everyone's there, you talk, and everyone has their own room. So. It's good on the road, but it's also like I've been to some magic places in the world, but a lot of the time you just see the hotel and the football ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I've been to Brisbane, I don't know, 15, 20 times now.
Yeah.
I've never left the hotel/coffee shop or football ground. Like I've never seen something.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How do you find the time before a game? Like I know Nick Riewoldt used to hate playing at night because he would just feel anxious then for the 12 hours beforehand. How do you go with that big lot of time where you're doing not much?
Yeah, preference is always to play like the 1:10 slot or the 2:30, 3:20 because you just wake up, have a coffee, some brekkie, chill and then you're there. But I don't mind night games. I'm not a big stresser before a game about footy or how I'm going to go because I don't know, there's no point in it. Like you'll find out once you get there, won't you? So I don't mind too much. You know, if there's NBA on, it's shit once the NBA season finishes because there's not much on TV. But I'm not too bad. I know, but as you said, like with Rui, he was a bit nervous. Some guys do hate it. Like they just sit around all day, just sort of itching to get there. So
So what do you do with those guys? What's your advice to them?
My advice to those guys that just like try and find some things that you want to do, like watch a movie, read a book,
distract yourself.
Yeah, have a sleep during the day. Because I try and turn night games into day games, if that makes any sense. So I have a sleep at like 2:00.
Mm-hmm.
So then I pretend that's, you know, the morning you wake up and you treat it. So then I'll have like some breakfast type food at like 3:30 in the afternoon and then head to the game for a 7:50 start. it's just how I like to do it. And that means the morning I just do what I want. You know, yeah. Like I'm not thinking.
That's your Scott time.
Yeah. It's a bit of Scott time.
What do you get up to, Jay, when you're on the road? So what, you go down to Geelong, you have a big one tonight, you get away from the family, stretch the legs?
What is happening tonight? So Geelong, how long does it take the car trip to get down there?
Well, I'm in the car, on the boundary for Triple M, and quite extraordinarily, Scott, we're catching a helicopter from Crown down to Geelong.
To Geelong, catching a helicopter.
Yep, so I'm not sure how long that's going to take. What is it? Must be 20 or 30 minutes, and that's to avoid the 2.5 hour or 2 hour car journey.
Because. An hour?
I've tried
Friday peak hour.
On a Friday. It can be a nightmare. Yeah, yeah. But look, I'm not unhappy about it, Scott. I'm quite happy with it.
I can tell.
I'm quite happy with it. The boys will certainly have a bit of fun.
Cold down there?
I've got the big black jacket, mate. Yeah. So it will be freezing. We'll be sitting on the boundary. But it should be a lot of fun.
So you get there. So you get there what, 2 hours before the bounds?
Yeah. So we're on air from six.
Six. So you start. Yeah. Are you in the box at six?
Yep.
And then you do the pre-game.
Yep.
And then when do you have to head down to boundary?
Oh, like half an hour before the bounce. Like, you know, sort of watch warm-ups.
What do you do while you're watching that?
Well, remember that game? It was at the MCG versus Brisbane.
Yeah, I got hit in the leg with footy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember I was sitting on the fence and you like went under the race and I'm trying to yell out to you like, what's the matter, mate? And you had like five injuries throughout the game. So I guess you're just watching that sort of stuff.
Who's last minute.
Yeah, who might be playing for, like might be unusually having shots at goal. So they might be playing forward. Watching the stoppage setups to see him.
What do you do at halftime?
I usually grab a couple of party pies
So do you get to go back up to the box at all once you head down to the boundary?
You go up at halftime and then I would host with the two special comments guys, Nathan Brown and Chris Judd, a discussion about what you just saw in the first half and what has to change.
And then you head back down?
And then head back down.
And then after the game, do you head back up and wrap up?
We go on the team song.
Team
song, which I got wet after last weekend. The boys covered me in Powerade, the Bulldogs, and then grabbed someone for a player interview. And you guys are always really enthused about that. And then that's it. And we wrap it up, give some votes, and that's it.
And then he's driving back or chop it back because the traffic wouldn't be too bad coming
I think
home.
We got a catered minivan on the way home back up to Melbourne tonight.
Beautiful.
Yeah, couple beverages. Of beers. Yeah. Do you allow yourself a glass of wine after a game, Scotty?
Oh, depends.
Rarely.
Oh, sometimes, yeah, sometimes I will. Depends how I feel when I get home.
Does it help you fall asleep? What time will you otherwise be awake till?
Oh, if I play a night game, 3 a.m, sit there, sort of. So I actually just stay up and watch TV and
basketball,
have a bit of food or something, just, I don't know, try and unwind and relax. Yeah. So I struggle. If I get home and try and go straight to bed, I can't because I need to.
Me neither.
I think anyone, like if you're anywhere, you get home, you need to actually chill out for a little bit first.
Yeah.
So I do that and then just, then I try and go to bed. The worst is when you wake up the next day. You feel so hungover.
3 hours sleep.
Oh, and you just, I feel hungover. So I often just try and keep the door shut and tell Alex to keep it down.
So what happens there? Do you have to do, is it mandated recovery? Like do you have
so
to be at the club?
No, so the next day after the game is like injury report. So, you know, we might ring in the physio, report in or come in, whatever you need to do. So if I was woke up the next day and I was concerned, I would definitely come in straight away and see physio. Yeah. Obviously down Mornington Way now, so I'll just head down to the beach down there and have a swim, go for a walk and just relax.
How did you feel? You're an old man now, 30 years old. How did you go
30?
Three games in 11 days. How did you handle that?
Well, I've only played two. I've got a third coming up in 11 days.
That's what I meant.
Or have I played three already?
No, I thought you played three. Because you played the week, Friday night, and then you played...
That's nine till Sunday.
Friday, then you played Anzac Day, then you played Sunday.
Oh, so the last three, how have I coped?
You've played three games in 11 days, yeah.
Yeah. I hit my top speed running against Richmond. So
Not ever, but
this year. So
what
old
was that?
Body is holding up.
What was that?
No, I can't tell you. It was north of 30.
Do you reckon I could beat you?
Do you reckon I could beat you in a sprint over 20 metres?
Do you reckon I could beat you in a sprint over 20 metres?
Can we please do that? It would be funny either way.
We have to do generally. That. Yeah, we can do it, but I'm sore generally until game day.
I can just see you like two just sprinting
who
across
would
the field.
I'd win comfortably.
Would you?
Yeah.
Maybe
I've been watching you play footy for a while.
Jay-Z, maybe you've got the burst speed. I reckon he could make it all the way across the oval. Drop out halfway. Yeah.
You'd probably got me covered over two cars.
Nah, but in terms of recovery, I'm fine. So
you change the subject pretty quickly.
you bat that away. Like I know that I've got that. I'm not going to concern myself with that.
I got you in the 20 minute sprint and the free throw.
Yeah, but
how are you feeling?
Nah, fine. Anzac Day, I pulled up really well after.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to be fine for Richmond. So I'm a little bit sore after Richmond. More just sort of that neural fatigue, you know, where you feel, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but that neural fatigue where you're just really sore. It's almost like go do two weight sessions in a run in one day. The next day, you're just pretty sore and tired. So, yeah, but and then, yeah, for Brisbane, ready to go. Yeah, feeling good. We've had, what now, since we played 6 days, five or 6 days now. So, it feels good to have just a week prep like normal.
You got Brisbane this week, of course. I wrote the match report for the Herald Sun and received a lot
Richmond.
Of...
Richmond match report.
Richmond Collingwood game. And I got a lot of criticism for Richmond fans. Thank you for all that. I'm on my Twitter account.
It's
about
just feedback. It's feedback, not criticism.
Yeah, well, constructive
feedback. It's
got to
be
feedback,
it's got to be constructive.
I made the point that while Richmond got the points, I thought Collingwood could take away equal, if lessons. Not more, away from this win, because I thought that your game style stood up very well for three quarters, and with three men down on the bench, Maynard rolled ankle, I thought it was a real step forward for your footy club. But I got some feedback from the Richmond faithful who thought I was being a Collingwood supporter and have a Collingwood duffel coat on. You tell me, how much did you get out of it?
Yeah, I think any time you come up against the last year's Premier, especially the form they're in, you want to be able to test yourself and walk off thinking it's stacked up. And I think I didn't read your article, but
what a surprise.
Sorry, mate. But I walked off the ground thinking disappointed that we let it slip, because I thought there were some positions that we put ourselves in where we could have got over the top of them.
Yep.
But also walked away too, like knowing that we've got a fair bit of work to do to... It's one thing to match a side like that, but then it's another level you've got to get to try and beat them. And, you know, it was 18 points until like 10 minutes to go. And then we had that one in the goal square where...
Joshy Thomas.
Tom Phillips fell over.
Tom Phillips.
And then Cochin banged into his knee. And then, with 10 minutes to go, though, they then put their foot down and just went, I think, 6 unanswered goals. So we looked at that last 10 minutes and how we can rectify that, because, you know, while we felt like we were close, you look... At the end of the day, it was a 7-goal loss. So, we definitely take lessons. It's like everywhere you take lessons. But, I walked off the ground thinking that, we're in a good space. If we can replicate this footy more often than not, I think we'll be okay.
I thought you play now, or it is more clear to the outside observer, that you play a finals brand of footy. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Well, I think, if anything, we've probably just cleaned up our ball use a bit more. I think
that's a big difference.
Yeah, I think the last couple of years, everyone acknowledged that Collingwood, last year I think our greatest losing margin was 30 points or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everyone acknowledged we gave great effort and we tried our guts out, but we've cleaned it up now so it looks a bit more efficient. With, the energy looks more efficient.
Yeah.
We're not consistently chasing, because you hit targets, the game slows down, you kick a goal.
Yeah.
It allows you to catch your breath and apply probably more pressure, more energy, because you're looking after the footy a bit better. So I think that's probably been the main thing, that our ball skills and execution of decisions have been a lot cleaner.
So is it clear to you why your kicking, delivery, all that is better?
In terms of mid-forward connection?
And even back midfielder, with a bit more speed. But what do you think? Been a turning point?
Well, I think some
accumulation?
I think some confidence. Obviously winning games in a row, you get some confidence. If we run 3 on the trot, and also played pretty well against the Giants round 2.
Yep.
Played all right again on the weekend against Richmond. But,
and
then you get personnel. Like Sam Murray opens the game up differently to anyone that we've had in a while because of his speed. And it's Jaden Stevenson. There's some bits of individual brilliance that make up for it as well. There was a bit of play last week, and it probably just goes unnoticed, but, Jaden was sprinting down the right side near the bench.
Yep.
And then... he knew that he had someone squeezing him, and he just did this little chip kick across his body into Mason Cox.
Yep.
Looked like nothing, but on match day, that's an incredibly tough kick to hit. But so as I've said it before, he's got elite speed, but great decision. So I think, a little bit of personnel, confidence, and Mason down the line, Reader down the line, are giving us great contest. So we don't feel like we have to always play a perfect play.
Can you tell us a little bit about Josh Thomas? Like, I'd be interested if you counted the Collingwood best and fairest results now, how we would go in that. He seems to me to be a very unheralded, unsung performer in this Collingwood team. There's not a lot of talk about him, but he's been quite good. And maybe he's added some more balance into that midfield to allow you and Adam Treloar to sort of do your thing. Is that fair, or how do you see it?
Yeah, I think he's playing like that really important role, that high forward midfield splitting time between the two. And I think his ability just to... be really clean with the footy. He's pretty quick. generally makes good decisions.
Yep.
But yeah, and he also knows his game inside out. He knows what he's really good at. He knows his strengths and weaknesses, and he lives sort of within those tram tracks. So, yeah, but the way he's been playing has been first class. And as you said, it's a guy that probably slips under the radar, but internally we see the work that he does and we know how important he is. And, yeah, his ability to even centre bounce is very good in there. That comes in for us. And, yeah, he's travelling really well. And it's part of, I suppose, once your forward group starts to click as well, you know, guys like Josh, who Reedy, Coxie, when everyone just plays their role, Travi Varko, Ben Crocker, DeGoey, when everyone just plays their role, you all shine together. Yep. You don't really rely on that one individual bit of brilliance.
Yep. What about, can you have some fun with this for a moment? In the Richmond game, I did see you sell some candy and I did quite enjoy it. I can't remember if you went right or left. But
left.
Left, okay. So, cool. Yeah, so Trent Cotchin falls, you sell the dummy, you balk him, he goes out. And then you got another two players inside, you go the other way and balk them out. At that moment, like, do you enjoy the game? Do you feel like...
I think when you hit the kick, so the most important thing in the whole play was the kick
to
Mason Cox hitting up. So, like when I got it off, I know the bit of play talking about, got off the hands off Brody, I felt Koch had already, like, he might have been their go-to on the other side, so that's why he's moving so quick. So I thought, well, he's too far gone.
So if I throw, committed.
So if I throw a little bit, he's going to go because his momentum's going that way.
Yep.
And then I was going to kick and the other two guys, I think, thought that I was going to kick the last one, so they went. So then I did it again.
Do you smile in that little...
No, because you get more nervous the more you try and sell it because you know someone else is coming.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, one, two, I better kick this. Probably Nankervis was the next one to get me. So, and then it's like, I think the main thing for me was like, don't just blast away.
Yeah.
Try and find something and...
Execute.
Yeah, execute the skill because as good as those bork look, if I just bomb it away and they mark it, it doesn't matter. So, then found Coxie and then, the big fella went back and kicked the point. Well, we didn't even make the distance, I don't think.
I think I have to ground you here. So my other two shining moments for the match was probably about a minute in, Castagna taking a big hanger over SP. That was a ripper. I actually liked that. That was good.
It happens every time to time, doesn't it?
But the second one was you kicked a set shot, mate. You went back.
Early.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because so last week at training, me and Jeremy Howe have like coffee bets.
Yep.
So walk off the track and you'd be like, right, I hit the goalpost. So bang, missed it. And then Howie just went bang, hit the goalpost. So I was in debt 5 coffees.
Yeah.
So I got that free kick. Howie ran up to me and goes, if you kick this, you get your coffees back.
Yeah.
Slotted it. 5 coffees. You did seem happy. That's $15.
I think the other one with BT, you hold the ball on such an angle that BT the whole way in called that you were going to kick a snap.
Yeah, I seen that on my tape when I was watching my tape back. I was at the top of my mark. I do hold the ball a little bit funny. Just knowing how I kick on a set shot. And he's like, oh, he's going the check side here. So not at one stage was I thinking about the check side, but it's just how I, because I hold the ball at the top of the footy and on an angle because when I drop it, I tilt my wrist and drop. So yeah, by the time I kick it, the ball comes back to where it should be. But it's just, I know that if I start with it straight, it probably ends up the other way and it's a banana.
So have you reminded Howie about it?
Instantly, as soon as the game finished, squared that away.
Oh, well done.
They're in a really good space.
Do you reckon we've undersold them?
Absolutely. The brand of footy they play there, they're impressive. You know, they pressure really well. They understand their roles. Defensively, they're really good. They stack up and they're hungry. You know, they play such a hungry brand of footy, that high intensity pressure. And it was, for me personally playing in, it was a ripper game to play in and have a crack at them.
Are they the team to beat? They're the best team you played so far?
Yeah, I think clearly they're acknowledged now, aren't they, as the informed side of the comp.
And,
It's amazing. What confidence, Mick Moldhouse used to talk about all the time, that the confidence you get from winning a flag and backing it up and then starting the next season well, you know, they don't think they can get beaten and they don't ever think that even when we got jumped them and got out to, I think, one stage, you know, 2 goals up.
Yeah.
It's like they, not once did they panic. They just think, we'll get this back.
Do you see Richmond being very 2011 Collingwood? Because I've heard you say that you felt...
I felt more invincible in 2011 than I did in 2010.
Mm.
They probably feel the same way.
Mm.
I feel like most premiers the next year bounce out of the blocks pretty well, pretty well. So, they're playing really good. Their injury list is, I think they've got one
minuscule
guy. And they've got, and he's on his way back. So they're,
fit.
Yeah, they're their ripping side in ripping neck.
I think that's mate. Dusty Martin's durability is amazing. I think he's played 78 consecutive games.
Yeah.
Quite extraordinary for the physical punishing he cops each week. It's been spoken a lot about this week. Give us your thoughts on the state of the game. I think we had some Twitter banter the other night. We involved Andrew Bogut and everyone polled on top of me again. So thank you for that, mate. But what are your thoughts on the state of the game?
Yeah, well, I hear like the commentary around like the low scoring, the congestion. I think like and then like everyone refers back to the 80s or the 70s or the 90s. Like every era in itself was good for the game, and that's the reason why the game is where it is. So like you never, for me, I don't understand why you knock other eras or you try and put another era down, because it's all so important in where we are now.
It's just different.
It's just different. And in today's footy, we see every game every weekend. There's two new sides in the comp, so that's diluted the talent pool there. You know, there's games in Cairns where you play like round one, Gold Coast, North. It was torrential rain, right, and it's basically a game of soccer.
Yep.
You know, all that. And then they go, oh, you know, the scoring's down 20 points on average. It's like, yeah, I think we see footy's so big now, and it's because of what's happened before us that we're in this position where the game is huge. But you are going to get some dour games from time to time because you're seeing every single game every weekend.
You think we over scrutinise
it. If you were to watch two games a weekend and that was it, and you just worked on those two games, and you didn't have to watch nine or talk about nine games of footy, you'd walk away thinking it's the game's the best shape it's ever been. Like tonight's game's going to be a cracker. Giants.
Yep.
Cats. Yeah, Giants, Cats. So it's going to be huge. And then the congestion one, I heard Bucks talk the other day about having prior opportunity as a team prior. Then I heard the Scott brothers talk about how stupid that was. I'll let Bucks know that I thought it was silly as well. But yeah, like I think there's going to be a solution that comes up, because I think, it's like the, you know, when someone kicks a point, why can't you kick the ball back in straight away if you want the game to keep flowing? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to wait for the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really that important that you have to wait for the flag?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that there's one thing there that you wouldn't even know has changed, but it's a small little tweak that you could make.
Yep.
You know, when there's a stoppage, umpire, as soon as the umpire gets there, just throw it up.
Go quick.
Yeah, don't worry about nominating two ruckmen, or you know who the two ruckmen are, and if they don't compete, then it's a free kick if you want. You know, just throw it up straight away, because, but if there's a stoppage and the whistle goes and I'm 50 metres away, I know that I'll comfortably get there.
Yeah.
But if they walked in and just threw it up straight away, the game happens a little bit quicker.
Yep.
You can't get in your structures as easy. So I think there's some pretty easy solutions that you might be able to make that fix it pretty quickly.
That's a good suggestion. I'm with Alistair Clarkson. Why don't we pay incorrect disposal anymore?
I think it could
sort of bobble out, you know.
Was it the start of last year, they were tighter on it? So I think if you tighten that a little bit, so I'm not saying it's all the time, just tighten that a little bit if a guy's had a reasonable chance to get rid of it, ping him.
Yeah.
Don't wait for everyone to get to a stoppage. If there's a ball up, as soon as the umpire's there, just launch the thing.
Yeah.
Throw in, if you kick a point, just bring it straight back in. Don't worry about the flag, all that sort of stuff. And I think that just automatically increases the speed. But then if you increase the speed, you also increase chance of injury.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like chicken or the egg.
Do you want to reduce rotation?
I'm not really fast. I've never been one that worries about rotations. Like when it was unlimited, didn't mind it.
Yep.
Now that it's 90, don't mind it. If it went to 60, don't really care.
I think it'll get to 60.
But isn't every rule change that comes in just creates...
There's always a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
So if it's, this game speeds up more, then there's going to be more high collision incidents because guys are going to be fatigued. If you drop the rotations, maybe if you drop the rotations, the game's going to open up a bit more. But I think there's some easy adjustments, easy tweaks we can make.
Yeah.
With that sort of stuff.
And you're against anything radical like zones?
No.
I still think it's partially over analysis, because if you go back to the 70s, 80s and look at how many people would have been covering the game, how many websites, papers, TV shows.
The conversation needs to be had.
Yeah, well,
it's a healthy debate for the game.
It still rotates. Like, you don't just have one guy kicking your goals. I could argue that it's more exciting seeing midfielders kick two and three goals a game.
Well, I think with zones, my concern with zones is that, like, the good sides, the bottom sides, like, the blowouts will be huge. Because you're going to open up the game even more and, like, put young defenders, isolate them even more, things like that. So I was thinking about the other day, like, the kick-ins happen quicker.
Yep.
So as soon as you're standing there with the ball, if you see that go through a point, just get it straight back in.
Yep.
That would speed up the game straight away. And then the ball-up one where, you know, ball up in the forward 50, umpire's there, throw it up, that would open the clearances up. So you'd get more of that sort of the Chris Judd, Ben Cousins style. Grab the ball, it's 3-on-3, bang, out you go.
Yep.
Find something. I think two easy solutions because, like, imagine zones. Oh, free kick, you're not in your zone.
Mm.
Oh, no lie. Slow it down. Yeah. I just think.
As soon as that happens, there's so many coaches in clubs now that you just keep finding, like, advantages of each rule.
Well, I think that's just sport. You're always going to try and look for a loophole, but I think the game's in a pretty good space. If you just change some minor things, and I think this is sort of stuff, instead of waiting to the end of the season, they could be like, righto, as of round 8, you can bring the footy in as soon as you see it's a point, bring it straight back in.
Yep.
And it just keeps the ball live more. Because that's ultimately what you want. You want the ball to be live. If there's a stoppage, whatever, grab it, throw it up, and there'll be less pairs there, less organisation front and behind the footy.
Yeah. I like it. Hey, before we wrap it up today, what did you think of Joey Ingles shooting 7 3-pointers, 27 points, and getting all in the face of James Harden, one of the big NBA superstars?
And Dante Exum played really well too, defensively. But yeah, Joe's been chippy since the playoffs have started. He always is. But I think the rivalry builds now. You know, you're playing against the same side, you're scouting them so heavily, you can put your homework in. But yeah, he's been unbelievable all year, and now that they're on the big stage, Utah, you can see how important he is to their team, makes them flow. Shooting the PISS out of it at the moment, isn't he? So, yeah, it's good. And then Dante, because Ricky Rubio went down, is getting some minutes, threw down a massive dunk in the last quarter,
yep.
Drew a couple of fouls on James Harden. So
yep.
The Aussie boys are going well. Ben Simmons playing at the moment, Baines is at the moment, so... Yeah, we're in a good space.
This is a left field run. LeBron's gone off again today. He's 34 years old. You've been playing footy for how long? This is what year?
13.
Do you take any inspiration from this man doing what he can do, essentially what is meant to be in the twilight or in the final years of his career? Yeah.
I'm probably slightly different built to LeBron.
We get that.
You get that? But yeah. Probably more your Tom Brady style. The unathletic, but use the mind. No, yep. You do. You look at athletes... think why at 30, if he's 35 and still playing absolute peak, why, like, I've got levels I need to get to, or I can try and get to. It's not, and I've always thought this, but at 30, age is just a number. There's ways I can still get better, still improve. And if you lose that at 25, you'll fall out of the system pretty quickly. So yeah. You've got to always keep striving to get better. Just because I'm 30 doesn't mean that I'm as strong as I can be. Can I get quicker? I don't know. But, you know, you've got to work on all these things and you've got to find out. If you concede, and I reckon you're starting to get on the other side of the mountain.
Has Darcy Moore texted you yet?
No, I haven't. He'll be here at 2:30.
You reckon he will be?
Absolutely. Or if he's not, I'll see him at the Virgin Lounge.
We've got a couple of questions in through Twitter, since we're doing the late pod. Actually, while we're still on the Cavs, will the Cavs sweep the Raptors? And if so...
Yeah, they went up today. Huge.
And if so, will they verse Philly or Boston in the East Finals?
Yeah, Cavs will... I reckon they'll sweep now because they won the first two in Toronto. They're back home. They need rest before the East Coast Finals. And they'll play... I reckon they'll play Boston. Yeah, which is... I thought Philly would go all the way, but just watching game one, watching parts of game two, Boston are just very well drilled, very well coached. But yeah, I think that series will go to 7.
Without Kyrie and Hayward's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we have just one more about after the victory, because obviously Collingwood will win. After the victory, can the team sing the song in the middle of the ground for something different?
No, we can't sing the song in the middle of the ground. That's usually reserved for...
Premiership.
Yeah, so 2010, one of the highlights after the game, all out barefoot on the ground, sang the song in the circle. So hopefully one time this year I'll do it.
Do you like the ground up there?
What?
Do you like the ground up in Brisbane?
Yeah, love it. Yeah. I love travelling. I don't know why. I've always loved travelling and playing away.
Why?
I just said I don't know why. Mm. I don't know why, but I just love playing on the road.
Getting away from
us. You're going to face your old mate Hodgie, who you nearly...
No, Beamsy.
Oh, yeah. Or Beamsy. Yeah. But yeah. Last time you played Hawthorn. You nearly... Didn't you... Brisbane. Didn't you nearly box on with Hodgie? Or?
No, last there time was I played a, Hawthorn.
Yeah, that's
there's a little moment. It was between him and Taylor Adams, and I that's went in to just separate in. Them. And yeah. Hodgie, I think, thought I was Tay. Yeah. And just... gave me a bit of a harder push.
He's so angry all the time. There was one...
Tay?
No, you.
I'm not.
You're getting angrier the older you get, no. I reckon. What about two weeks ago, you and and Stringer? A few words there.
Jackie boy.
Oh, he kicked a goal and was staring at me and I had to get back to the middle.
Staring
there was no way to get back. I had to sort of go near him to get there.
You and Zachy Merritt in the Anzac Day game.
I knew Zach from the IRS, so we'll just have a chat about the Irish series.
Just an angry, angry man.
Just enjoying my footy, mate.
Interesting debate about Hodgie. We'll finish up on this about him possibly not being a great pickup for Brisbane this year. I think he's been a sensational pickup. Even if he didn't play a game, he was going to have so much impact on that young group the club.
Watching some of their stuff throughout the week and analysing how they play, how they work off the ball and behind the ball as a defensive unit. It's got Luke Hodge written all over it. Yeah. So I think they're 4 or 5 goals better off this year than they were last year.
Mm.
And there's a very large reason, and that's him.
Yeah, certainly covers well for his opponents. Hey, good luck picking up the boys from...
I'm not picking up anyone, mate. I'll leave from here at 2:30
and we'll
leave together.
And,
absolutely.
And you think they'll have coffee, waiting for you?
Yeah, hopefully have four people in the car and there's some coffees there.
All right.
So there we go.
Good luck for Sunday.
Thanks, mate.
Scotty, Coco, great to see you. Good luck at the Podcast Awards. Are you going?
There's a bit of a story about the Podcast Awards.
Oh, the next one.
We couldn't make it, so we are not going to win.
Okay. thanks, everyone, for joining us and for listening in. We'll be back on the Jock and Jono show in a fortnight. Thanks for listening.